Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Protesters chanting outside the office of Minnesota dentist Walter Palmer, who killed a protected lion named Cecil in Zimbabwe. Now Cecil is everybody's favorite lion in death. Now, if you are opposed to the concept of animal rights, that is, that animals have rights equal to those of human beings, does that mean that you're fine with the death of Cecil the lion, or that you actually approve of the death of Cecil the Lion? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Wesley Smith is going to join us. He is an opponent of animal rights. Is he fine with Cecil's killing by Walter Palmer? Well, I have him answer that question right off the bat. A little bit later, listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be responding to both of those in the course of this hour. You can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943 with your questions or your comments. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc or our beloved on-demand listeners wherever, whenever you listen. Use the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about animal rights versus animal welfare and the killing of Cecil the Lion, Wesley Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including The War on Humans, and he's written a column for National Review Online titled Why Killing Cecil the Lion Was So Wrong. Wesley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, long time no talk to.
You have been a very outspoken opponent of animal rights, so some might assume that you would have no problem with this dentist killing Cecil the Lion.
Yeah. Well, that's what animal rightists would say about anybody who doesn't think that thinks that human beings are not the moral equal of animals. You see, animal rights is a term that's too loosely used. It actually is not being nicer to animals. It is an ideology. And that ideology says that the moral value does not come from being a human being. Rather, it comes from the capacity to feel pain or to suffer. That means cattle ranching, since cows can feel pain and humans can feel pain, is as odious as slavery. And this is an anti-human ideology that we should reject. On the other hand, animal welfare, which is part of human exceptionalism, says that human beings have obligations. We have duties to treat animals properly and humanely. Therefore, if we do an animal welfare analysis of what happened to Cecil the Lion, we can see that it was terribly wrong in the same way that dog fighting is wrong. In animal welfare analysis, human beings can make use of animals for our benefit when there is a human need that is met. And when we do make use of animals in that way, we have an obligation to do so as humanely as possible. A good example would be whaling. There was a time in the 17th and 18th centuries when I would have supported whaling. Why? Whale oil was an essential ingredient for human thriving. It lit our cities. It was an essential element in getting the Industrial Revolution up and running and so forth. Today, I oppose whaling. Why? We don't need those products. Even if you're going to whale for food, it seems to me that the use of a harpoon causes way too much pain to the animal, and therefore widespread whaling should not be done. The same thing would be true of killing Cecil. Cecil was not killed for any real human benefit. It was like dog fighting. It satiated a bloodlust in the hunter. It gave the hunter an adrenaline rush, a trophy to put on his wall or a photo to be taken. Cecil was not even in the wild particularly. He was in a sanctuary. He had apparently a GPS collar. He had been acclimated to some degree to humans. He was, from what I've read, lured out of this sanctuary where he was shot with a bow and arrow. It took him 40 hours to be found because he was wounded but not killed by that, where he was finally dispatched with a rifle. Terrible suffering. To what end? To what end? That violates an animal welfare analysis, and it was just egregious, and it was wrong.
So how do the two go together? Human exceptionalism. You've often made the case in conversations here that human exceptionalism really is a required prerequisite before we can even consider the welfare and protection of animals. Why is that?
Well, because human exceptionalism has two sides of the coin. The first is our unique value. The second is that we are the only real moral agents in the known material universe. Therefore, we have duties. One of those duties, not the only one, obviously, is to treat animals properly. So we treat animals properly precisely because we are human beings. In fact, if being human isn't what requires us to do that, what on earth does? And I can't think of another answer.
What about those who would say, look, and you need to respond to this because a lot of it is, you had talked about the hunter's bloodlust. So any
yep.
kind of hunting is simply to satisfy the hunter, gratify the hunter, and therefore falls under the category of cruelty.
You say any kind of hunting?
Yes.
No, I mean, you know, hunting for food is a different thing, I think, than trophy hunting. I mean, we all have to analyze this in our own hearts and our own souls, don't we? I think trophy hunting is killing for ego. That's just my opinion. I don't think it should be outlawed per se. I certainly think it should be regulated. But I think our society and our culture, I think we're growing in our sensibilities and our sensitivities. The day of Ernest Hemingway's values are dying. And I don't think that's a bad thing. On the other hand, we're also growing more coarser, as the Planned Parenthood videos demonstrate. I think the essence of being human is to be able to discern distinctions and nuances. Killing, for example, a deer and then filling your freezer locker with the meat is not the same thing as going out and finding Cecil, shooting him with an arrow, letting him suffer for 40 hours so you can take a picture and maybe hang his head on your wall. Those are different circumstances that require different, it seems to me, answers to the question, is this right or is this wrong? But remember, only human beings have that concept of is this right or is this wrong. There probably was a time, if Cecil is a typical male lion, he was the head of the pride, in which when he took over the pride, he killed the offspring, at least the male offspring, of the other lion he supplanted, which for Cecil was just being a lion. But if a human being married into a family and killed the children that existed previously, that would be monstrous. That's a huge distinction between human beings and animal life.
So make that clear distinction, if you would, between animal rights and animal welfare.
Animal rights is an ideology. Animal rights says that human beings have no right to engage in any animal domestication because animals and humans have the same moral worth based on the ability to suffer or to feel pain. Animal welfare comes out of human exceptionalism. It is the human obligation to treat animals properly and humanely. And how that works out will vary in circumstance to circumstance to circumstance.
Which one actually results in the real world in a better, more humane, and that's an interesting term to use itself, humane treatment of animals?
I would say that animal welfare does, because animal rights would make it so that animals would have kind of the special circumstance where they could be as cruel to each other as they wanted, which of course they're going to be, the tooth and claw of nature. But the big issue is, what would be the consequence to human beings? Animal rights would be devastating to human society, human culture, human economies. Animal welfare strikes a proper balance between our thriving and the proper care of animals.
I did want to get your thoughts on how it could be that, especially in the popular press, the killing of Cecil the lion is everywhere. It is being disdained by people who didn't even know. Suddenly, Cecil the lion is everyone's most beloved lion, not just a single countries. And I'm not diminishing the people's love for this beautiful animal and the tragedy of that animal's completely unnecessary death. But why does that seem to strum more loudly at the heartstrings, or even at the heartstrings at all, when, as you mentioned before, the Planned Parenthood videos, for so many, they won't even admit that they exist?
I think there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, as we are personalizing nature, we are depersonalizing much of humanity. We've talked about that before. It's a terrible problem. Secondly, you know, there is a stake for many people, whether it's ideological or financial, in not acknowledging the human status of unborn babies. Whereas you see the picture of the magnificent lion, and you are moved, which is natural in the human heart. If Cecil had been a warthog, you wouldn't see the same kind of reaction, because part of what I think has struck people is his magnificence. And that is that creates an more intense subjectivity in terms of this story, which is also kind of a very human manifestation, isn't it?
So he's emblematic beyond just
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I think he symbolizes the grandeur of nature, which I think anyone who goes to Yellowstone, part of the reason you go to that wonderful place is to see the grandeur of nature. And animals also, we project a lot of innocence onto them. I mean, Cecil's life in the wild is, of course, once you're at the head of the pride for the male, while you can stay on the top of the mountain, it's pretty good. You get your food provided by the females. You get to have your conjugal relations with the females, and you get to take a lot of naps. But most of nature is tooth and claw. And what we are seeing a lot of today in the animal rights movement is a romanticizing of nature and an anthropomorphizing of animals to give them human attributes, human capacities, human sensibilities. And of course, again, looking at that magnificent lion, they're beautiful animals. I think that's what's driving this story. As I said, if it were a warthog, or if it were, it's like the difference between the reaction people have when the harbor seal pups, the white furry pups, are killed versus a normal seal that's grown up and isn't quite so cute, you know?
So one more way of kind of sorting this out, Wesley. While I think we are in complete agreement here that this was the needless killing of an animal that should have been left alone to live his animal existence.
Yes.
How is this not the equivalent of the murder of a human being?
Because it's an animal and not a human being. I mean, if we're going to say that an animal has moral equality and the same moral value as a human being, you are not elevating animals as much as you are reducing humans to another animal in the forest. It would be to turn our back on everything we've learned and gained in the last several hundred years of pushing toward human equality, of pushing toward a more humane society, of valuing the inherent moral worth of each and every equal inherent moral worth of each and every individual human being. If we say that all we are is the value of an animal, that's precisely how we will act. It will lead to an even greater crassness in society, a greater vulgarity, and a greater diminishing of the best instincts of humanity.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including The War on Humans, and he's also written a column for National Review Online titled While Killing Cecil the Lion was so wrong. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, thank you very much for your time and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me. I always like talking to you.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, July the 30th, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We will respond to as much of both as we can. Stay tuned. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Streaming 24/7 sacred music and talk stations from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.